Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products are pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The Volume.
It's Snaps, presented by FanDuel. Football season is here, and there's no better place to get in on that action than FanDuel. But why, T-Bob? Why? Well, let me tell you, okay? First off, the app is safe, secure, it's easy to use, okay? FanDuel always has these great exclusive offers where you can get juice, win a little more. When you win, you'll get paid fast, no waiting, no BS. And they got a ton of ways to play, man. Spread, money line, over, unders, totals, props, same game parlays, everything. Live betting. If you get to the show late, it doesn't matter. Just live bet it. They also have the teasingly vague same game parlay plus. I don't think it's a streaming service, but there's only one way to find out. It's by downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app today, promo code SNAPS, and make every moment more this football season.
Must be 21 and present in select states only. Gambling problem? 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Arizona, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Indiana, Minneapolis, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Indiana, 1-877-770-STOP. In Louisiana, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. New York, Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700. Wyoming, or visit www.1800gambler.net. West Virginia.
Yo, what's up? Aaron Murray here at Late Night Snaps. T-Bob is still celebrating the crazy win versus Auburn. I think he's getting a little bit drunk down there in Baton Rouge right now. So I called another LSU grad, my boy Peter Burns, the face of SEC Network. Man, PB, what's up?
My man.
What another fun day.
I'm bringing in another LSU guy into the conversation. How about my Jacob Hester prom picture t-shirt here? Is that a good look or what, man? Anytime you get a little Jacob Hester rolling back with the puka shell necklace and the frosted tips, what a crazy, I mean, like, crazy night. I'm sitting there watching it. I'm going to show you kind of the little studios I have here in the room. You know about it. So I had, like, the I had the Georgia game going on over there. I had the LSU game. I had the Clemson North Carolina State game. I got all my Mike Tyson punch out things here. I don't know how I'm going to get to bed after a night like tonight, man.
Well, you know what? Yeah, for those who want to see more of PB, 6 o'clock in the morning, studio call for you tomorrow. What, because of the Florida game change? So, just pull an all nighter, man. Just suck it up, stay up all night, break down the film, get your notes ready, and have a good day tomorrow.
You know me, like you actually look at film. I just talk. I'm a fan with like the dream job of the microphone. So the fact that I get to talk with you guys that actually break down the film, like I'm the guy that sits there and says, you know what? I think Georgia is going to be arguably one of the greatest teams in the history of the game, and nobody's going to come even close to them. And then sure enough, they have to put together this like Herculean drive, Aaron, at the end of this game on the road. And I'm trying to figure out. It looked off. Look at this and go, it wasn't a turn of turnovers. It wasn't like they had 15 penalties like we've seen Bama had against Texas when they struggled. It's just Missouri flat out balled out over there in Como tonight.
Well, you know what's crazy? So it's funny heading into this game and just watching Missouri over the past couple of weeks. My thought was, because we always keep asking this question, like, who's the third best team in the SEC? You know, is it Ole Miss? Is it Kentucky? Is it Tennessee? Like, who is that number three? Is it A&M? Like, we've had this discussion since, you know, SEC media days. And, you know, the discussion I was having last week on different shows was, okay, screw that conversation. Like, who's the worst team in the SEC? Is it Auburn?
Yeah.
Is it Vandy or is it Missouri? And based on what we've seen from Vandy and then what we've seen from Missouri, I was like, Missouri honestly could be the worst team in the SEC. Georgia being one, Missouri being last. 28-point difference, or what Vegas had it right on, 28-point different game. I was shocked, man. I thought Georgia would have come in there and steamrolled it. I don't know if the whole, you know, Chase Daniels,
especially after last week, right?
Up to what? Yeah.
Especially after last week, after kind of what you thought, playing with their food a little bit with Kent State, and it was oddly, it was very like serial killerish. Like when you saw Kirby not want to just rip the paint off the walls, and he was just like oddly calm, and I'm like, all right, well that. Hell hath no fury like the Georgia Bulldogs having to play. But you're right, man. When I saw Chase Daniel send the tweet out going, hey, free drinks are on me for 2 hours and I'm going to run the bar tab. And I'm like, bro, come on. Like, this game shouldn't even be close at this point. Like, that's not – like, that's sending – that's like when you – like, I invite you to play golf, but I know, Aaron, you can't play golf. So I at least look like the good guy that I invited you to play golf, but I knew that you weren't going to take me up on the offer. I wonder if Chase at some point was actually sweating it. Because you
he's
know
like,
it would have
oh,
been.
Shit. Well,
he's made enough. Yeah, he's made enough money that he's probably not sweating it. Because what do you think the bill would be? What had been
2 hours at the top bar there in Missouri? You would think that the bar would actually
grand?
Give him like, hey man, what did you say? Three?
40 grand? 40.
Oh yeah, I would say like 50 plus. Yeah, around 50. Yeah, because listen, if I know I'm getting free drinks at the bar for 2 hours, I'm getting blackout. Like it's going down. Especially if you win a game for the number one team in the country. It's like the entire campus will be at that place. So I mean, it's good advertising. So maybe the bar ends up throwing in part of it for just bringing people inside the door. But yeah, I'm sure my boy Chase was sweating.
He should still do it just to drown out the sorrows of like the last 2 weeks. I mean, think about that. Mavis misses the 26-yarder last week, and then they could have won that game against Auburn, and sure enough, them falling. I mean, I thought that they would be kind of left for dead. You know, this is the reason why I don't gamble whatsoever, or I probably shouldn't gamble, we'll put it that way, anymore, is the fact that it all signs, Aaron, looked like this is going to be Georgia getting kind of a get-right game right now. Yep. You know this team in and out. Like, how concerned are you now with this Georgia team, or is that just Missouri balling out?
No, the one concern I had with Georgia, and it was kind of one of my keys to the game for Georgia heading into to tonight versus Missouri, was can they find a running game? Like, you know, watch Georgia this year. You know, I love what Stetson's done. I still am a believer in Stiquavius Bennett going out there and leading Georgia. You know, Brock Bowers is going to be great. I still think he's the premier player in all of college football. You know, I want to see A.D. Mitchell back. He's been banged up. Kearse has been good. You know, Ladd's had a rough couple weeks. There's no doubt about it. But I still think Ladd is going to be just fine. It's the running game. Can they find a running attack? And that's something that's been really lacking, in my opinion, for the majority of this season. Like, can that you know, they played a little bit better down the stretch running the football, but that consistent running game that we're so accustomed to seeing with Georgia, like RBU, man, like dominant guys that, you know, week in and week out are going to get 100 yards. Georgia does not have that 1-2 punch of we're going to win the game by running the football. It's we have to pass in order to win. And as we saw tonight, Stetson was a little bit off, and they had to squeak one out versus Missouri on the road.
They don't have a Nick Chubb and plus Sony Michel. They don't have the offensive line that they've had in years past, right? No Salyer and some of those guys. And you look at, I mean, what, 170 yards rushing, and a lot of that came probably in the last couple of minutes when they were trying to kill the clock out. And this goes against, I mean, Missouri had one of the most, I mean, I could have probably started on Missouri's defensive line last year. I mean, like, they were that bad in how, you know, how many yards they were getting up rushing. And again, it's survive in advance, but no, I'm frankly kind of shocked at what happened. And even Al, I mean, it happens, but to see it 2 weeks in a row from a team that I thought was really truly dominant is troubling, especially when you see how Alabama, even after Bryce went down, hey, they struggled a little bit, but all of a sudden, man, they hit a different gear when everything kind of just rolled out, and they end up winning what, by 3 touchdowns or something over Arkansas.
Yeah, and T-Bob and I have talked about before, like that 1-3, you know, there's going to be change up throughout the season. You know, we may see Alabama at 1, Ohio State at 2, and Georgia at 3 for next week. I mean, it doesn't really matter right now. I think obviously knowing that Georgia and Alabama are inevitably going to face each other in Atlanta, one of them is going to either knock each other out or get to that 1 or 2 spot heading into the playoffs.
Wait a minute. I'm going to stop you there. You talk, I mean, now Tennessee, right? I mean, does this change in your mind any chance as far as the percentage chance that Tennessee, you know, they face LSU, but it's going to be an 11 a.m. game in Baton Rouge. I think Tennessee wins that game. With that being said, man, like, you think Tennessee can make a run at Georgia now after seeing the last two games?
Well, let's not forget, though, you know, is Bryce healthy before Tennessee too? You know, I had a grade 3 AC sprain in my shoulder, and it was a pain in the ass to get back from. I don't remember how long it took, but it wasn't like, hey, you know, we're ready to go next week. You know, I had to get shot up. I think it was a couple weeks before I felt my best to be ready to go out there and play. So how fast is Bryce able to play? And Alabama plays Tennessee on the 15th. So only a couple weeks to get that shoulder ready to go. You know, Tennessee is, I mean, right now, if you look at both sides of the East and West of the SEC, and we ask our questions right now, who is the third best team in the SEC? I think a lot of people would say it's Tennessee right now. You know, it's not Kentucky. It's not A&M. I still think Mississippi State is a good football team, and Ole Miss looked good today, but I think I would still put my money on Tennessee right now.
Yeah, because I think that Tennessee has the offense to go blow for blow with anybody right now, including Alabama, and especially now after the last 2 weeks of what we've seen out of Georgia. So, yeah, I think Tennessee is kind of a clear cut, because I don't see, as much as I like the game that Ole Miss had, I almost felt like that was more of Kentucky losing that game than it necessarily was Ole Miss going out and necessarily winning and being that much more of a dominant team. In my mind. So, you know, that's when, going back to the question I asked you, is if 2 weeks ago, before the Kent State game, okay, what percentage chance would you have said that Tennessee could beat Georgia before the Kent State game? So 2 weeks ago, if I ask you that question here on Snaps, what do you say?
Yo, I would probably say 2 weeks ago that it's a, you know, 80% chance that Georgia wins. You know, now I'm kind of I'm still saying 70%. You got to remember the game's in Athens. You know, Georgia, too, these past 2 weeks, the two big issues they've had is one, A.D. Mitchell's been out. You know, you're talking about the best receiver on the football team. And Jalen Carter, who I think is the best, one of the best players in the country, has been out for 2 weeks now. You know, came in a little bit tonight versus Missouri. He gets banged up early on. I would say, missed, you know, 90% of the game. Those are two keys to the game. And what did Georgia not do well? They didn't make plays down the field. They were struggling a little bit with Stetson. Yep. I think you throw AD in there, that's a huge bonus. And then also with Jalen out there, defensive line, you don't see that consistent number one guy getting after the quarterback. Like, no one really hasn't been what we thought he would be to start the year off. Like, no one is, without blitzing, consistently putting pressure on the quarterback. No one's getting through the line of scrimmage in the run game. Jalen's that guy. So once they get Jalen back and A.D. Mitchell going, I will feel better about this team. But no, I do think that there's a little bit more of a chance to see Tennessee possibly upset one of these teams, whether it's Alabama here in a couple of weeks or Georgia in November. But speaking of another top SEC team, Ole Miss, you brought them up. Get a great win at home versus Kentucky. Tremendous game. You know, once again, Kentucky struggles to run the football. It was great to see Chris Rodriguez back, but still only
he is a difference maker for him.
2.9.
He looked a lot. But they only got 2.9
yards. Only 2.9 yards per rush, though. Only 2.9 yards per rush, and I think that was a ballsy performance by Ole Miss in that defense.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Did you hear? Did you hear Lane post game?
Yeah,
he goes, I mean, you know, to hold the number one pick of the draft, because there was so much made about Will Levis and how good of a quarterback he is and stuff. And listen, man, you know, that's one of the things I think I think you know it better than me. I know you know it better than me as far as, you know, the NFL level of Will Levis, and scouts are enamored by his size, how he can move a little bit. But the internal clock cost him. I mean, it basically lost him the game of the the big fumble late in the game. But then a couple of times he just seemed to catch, you know, stay in that pocket just a little bit too long, thinking he probably had last year's offensive line and not this year's offensive line.
Yeah, and obviously the safety hurt them big time there early in the football game, not being able to get out of there. I mean, you should know too, like, hey, man, I'm backed up my own end zone. I can't take a sack. If my one or two is not there, I got to get the hell out of here, get this ball out of my hands, and not risk giving up 2 points and the football to the other team. I thought he looked fine, though. I do. You know, that last sack, I wouldn't put on him. You know, your right tackle gets not hurt, but has a cramp in his right hamstring. Backup comes in there, gets beat, even with, you know, essentially edge support from the running back, and you get knocked, or the ball gets knocked out of your hand. So I thought Will Levis was fine. I still think at the end of the day, you know, the issue with this Kentucky team, and it kind of showed itself versus Florida, but the issue with Florida is they were turning the ball over, is they're not physical. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to call them soft. I'm not going to be Roman Harper here and say, hey, Kentucky soft, but they're not as physical as we're accustomed to seeing with a Stoops-led football team. Used to seeing them dominate up front, running the football. We used to see them dominate up front on defense, stopping the run. And once again tonight, 2.9 yards per carry, only 108 yards. And then they gave up 190 yards rushing on the other side. Juckins, the freshman running back for Ole Miss, was an absolute freaking stud.
So much fun to watch.
So damn good. Yeah. So
JJ Weaver got banged up. I mean, again, Jacquez Jones, actually the Ole Miss transfer, you know, he got banged up a couple times in that game. But you're right, they don't have that, you know, that offensive line that they've always traditionally had, that big blue wall like Landon Young and those guys, and that is the difference maker right now. Although, you know, listening to Stoops after that game was kind of interesting, because you can tell, like, some losses, Aaron, seem to deflate teams where they're just like, all right, well, we kind of got exposed. It almost seems like that's going to be one of those losses that piss off Kentucky, because they knew that they could have won that game. Like, they shot themselves in the foot. And, you know, and it's almost like a golfer not like, okay, my swing's actually good. Like, I'm hitting the ball really well. I just made dumb mistakes. Like, I make a lot of those. And I think Kentucky's going to come out with some piss and vinegar after these next couple of games.
Yeah. I'm not sold on Kentucky. I thought they should have lost to Florida. If Anthony Richardson doesn't throw those interceptions, which were on him, Florida, I think, wins that football game. I look at their schedule right now. They'll take care of business for South Carolina. I think they lose to Mississippi State, and I think they lose to Tennessee, and I think they lose to Georgia. You know, I think they are an 8-4 football team, 9-3 in best, which is not a bad season. You know, in an East that is improving, when you got to go on the road against Ole Miss, when you got to go
talking,
on the road
we're talking
Florida,
Kentucky football being 9-3.
We're talking Kentucky football
9-3. You're like, it's an okay season for them. Like, think about how far Mark Stoops is taking the program. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a hell of a season for Kentucky. So I'm not going to bitch and moan if I'm them. One more game. I know you got to get ready for your games and everything, or at least game tomorrow with Florida and get in the studio. But Alabama, Bryce Young was doing Bryce Young things. Arkansas, their secondary, man, it's an issue. And we kind of knew that heading into the season. They lost a lot of leadership. They lost a lot of guys in the transfer portal. They're one of the worst passing defenses in all of America. And Bryce Young in that emerging receiving core is getting better and better. We saw a little bit last week versus Vanderbilt, and we saw it again once again this afternoon versus Arkansas. But with Bryce down, obviously I don't think it's too bad, but what are your overall thoughts on what you saw from Alabama?
Well, I mean, the overall thoughts is actually I take it kind of on the flip side of like, okay, who do you have next week? And like normally I would be worried, but then it's Texas A&M, who, I mean, is an absolute dumpster fire when it comes to offense. I mean, again, like, you know, what I took from that is I think we got punched drunk on how great of a guy Sam Pittman is, and I love him. KJ Jefferson is a flat-out baller. But I think, like, the public got ahead over their skis a little bit about how good this specific Arkansas team actually really was. Yep. And we saw that, right? When Alabama kind of settled down finally, they put the pedal to the metal, and they're like, all right, let's not flip out. Let's just let, Milroe run it and then Gibbs. And they just overpowered them when they decided to go that route. But, that Alabama doesn't even interest me, honestly. Like, I'm more interested in what's going on at Texas A&M. And we saw that game, mm-hmm. and that was just an absolute debacle of what's going on. But I'm going to run this by you, and I want to get this is another harebrained opinion that I have. I think that loss is a really good thing for A&M, because I said it on my show on Friday. And the reason why I mean that is that I think you have to fail so miserably on offense for Jimbo to finally understand that it's time to pass the sticks. It's time to let somebody else be their offensive play caller. And that's tough because he's an offensive, quote-unquote guru. It ain't working. And I think you need to fail this spectacularly right now for Jimbo to be like, all right, we got all this oil money. Let's go hire some whatever OC we want, the top one in the game, pay him $4 million a year and figure this stuff out because it ain't working with him. He's trying to win in 2010. And this is 2022.
No, I mean, 100%. He needs to go back to the drawing board. This is a get humbled, get right kind of year for Texas A&M. You know, we know the money. We keep saying next year, and they do have talent. I mean, that's one thing we do know they have at A&M is they got players. They need to use those guys in creative ways. And Jimbo's, that's on his game plan, man. His game plan is literally get lined up and play old school football that we saw 10, 15 years ago. And that doesn't work anymore. Defenses are too good. They're too talented. They're too athletic. You got to find ways to put them in precarious situations and matchups, whether it's tight ends against linebackers and safeties, your number one receiver in the slot, jet sweeps, those sort of things. You just don't see we're not seeing the creativity with Jimbo and obviously offense.
A&M, right? Think about that, right? Like, you have this restaurant and you can go and get the greatest ingredients and you have a chef that wants to make a bland meal with every single thing on the menu. And it's like, Lance Leipold is doing it over at Kansas. Okay. Heupel did it automatically over at Tennessee. We saw Lane do that. And again, what made Nick Saban the greatest coach in the history of the game is at some point he said, I'm going to take the absolute complete 180 of me, which is Lane Kiffin, but I will put on my staff because I know I have to adapt and actually have some offense. And guess what? Alabama took that next level and Jimbo hasn't done it yet. And I don't know if he's going to be stubborn or actually give it a go going forward.
All right. Well, A&M 3-2 right now after the loss of Mississippi State, who I still love Mississippi State. I still think Mississippi State has a chance to be that number three team in the SEC. Has to go on the road to Alabama next week. We'll see if they can pull off some magic like they did last year. Not thinking that's going to happen. But they got a tough schedule, man. Ole Miss, Florida, and then finish the year off at LSU. So I think it's going to be – I think those big-time money people that are paying his salary, paying the player salaries, all that good stuff, are going to have a conversation with him afterwards and kind of say, like, man, 7-5, which is where this thing is heading at best right now, is not good enough. At all. So, yes, it may not even be him being humbled, but him more being told that, hey, the powerful people in Texas have voted and your ass needs to stop calling plays.
But then again, he's like, you know what? He might come out and say, it doesn't matter what you want. I'm going to do it my way. And if you don't, give me my $95 million, I'll go somewhere else. I mean, that thing is fully guaranteed. His check gets cashed no matter what. Which is absolutely incredible. God bless it. I want to be a coach with a buyout one of these days. It'll be great. We'll play a lot of golf at Ohoopee when that happens. So,
yeah, it's like Dan Mullen. My mom, we're on the boat today at Oconee before the game. She goes, "Why don't you just go Dan Mullen's route? Go be a head coach. Go get paid." We drove by his house and go get a bunch of money and then just screw up and get fired. And then play golf and be on TV. I'm like, not a bad life. Or you could just be Peter Burns, who has to wake up at 6 o'clock on a Sunday and do a bunch of shows. So PB, get some sleep, man. I appreciate you jumping on with us.
It could be worse things to do, my friend. We'll holler at you soon, right?
See ya.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That was Peter Burns of the SEC Network jumping in with us. Aaron Murray here, Snaps, After Dark, having some fun, breaking down the games from this past weekend. Our boy T-Bob is at a bar somewhere in Baton Rouge having a damn good time. And as he should, because LSU had a scare tonight. A little bit worried. Auburn, 8.5-point spread. That was one of my locks of the week. My first week going 1-2. For those who have listened, I have been 2-1 pretty much the entire season. So I thought LSU was going to do it, man. You look at the way they've been playing as of late. You've seen what Auburn has done as of late. And I was like, they're going to beat the absolute brakes off them. But Robbie Ashford came out hot early, looked pretty good moving in outside the pocket. Some big explosive plays. And yeah, I've been really impressed with LSU's defensive backfield this entire season. Thought they've been pretty damn solid and, you know, just letting guys open left and right and left and right. So they took advantage of it. Auburn, early 14-0 lead, take the lead in the halftime. But it was good to see John Emery Jr. get in there. John Emery was suspended for the first few games of the season, came back, is slowly working his way back into that starting lineup. I thought he looked damn good, had some pretty darn good runs. Jaden looked good running it, kind of as an offense took a step back in the passing game tonight, which is a little bit concerning. And then obviously his very awkward slide and him out and Garrett Nussmeier having to come in there. But overall, man, to go on the road in Auburn and win a football game in this conference to get the 4-1. We said it, man. LSU's legit. LSU's a good football team. They got guys on both sides of the football that can make plays. We know how good they're on the outside. Bijah Ojulari was an absolute terror on the outside. Jay Ward was a beast. They're going to continue to win games. And we talk about who's that third best team in the SEC, or maybe who's that second or third best team in the SEC West. I think LSU is going to continue to climb that conversation as some of these other teams are essentially disappointing us with how they're playing this year. Auburn, tough loss for Harsin, was not able to score at all. Big old goose egg there in the second half. You were thinking midway through, like, hey, this could be his kind of, you know, two middle fingers up to Auburn Nation that, hey, you ain't firing my ass just yet. But that seat, which we all know is extremely hot right now, I don't even think you could touch it. He's in a bad spot. Just not being able to finish a game off like that at home and kind of get embarrassed in the second half with turnovers, sloppy play, a trick play that turned into an interception, fumbles on special teams. Overall, man, it ain't looking good for Harsin. I don't think he's going to get fired during the season. I don't think, once again, there is a head coach on that roster or on that coaching staff that is capable of stepping up and filling his role. So I think he's going to kind of survive this season, which I don't know if that's good for him or for this football team or this program. But you know what? Next week you go to Georgia. Freaking Missouri almost just beat Georgia. Maybe he can save his career by beating Georgia on the road. I don't see it happen. I think Georgia's going to kind of refocus and get right going forward. But you know, one way to kind of get that security back, win a game like that on the road. But you know, at Georgia, then at Ole Miss, versus Arkansas, at Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Western Kentucky, and then at Alabama to finish the season off. I maybe see two wins in there, three at best. So, you know, as an Auburn fan right now, you're just essentially hoping to make a bowl game. Can you get to 6-6 and then 7-6 if you win that bowl game? I don't see it happening for Harsin, which is unfortunate. Well, I like the coach. I think he's a really good coach. He's just been put in a really shitty situation where, you know, he wasn't the guy. He wasn't the guy that fans wanted, and he's feeling that pressure right now when he's not winning. So, yeah, that sucks. All right, update from Pac-12 late night right now. USC's up 14-7. Oregon up 3-0 over Stanford. Our Trojan boys, we'll see what they can do there hosting Arizona State. Other big games that we're pretty damn tight here in the SEC. Brum, you got any for me?
I do. Aaron, Nick Saban came out after the game and said that Bryce Young has a shoulder sprain. He's day-to-day. He's dealt with it before. As, you know, another former high-level SEC quarterback, what exactly is Bryce Young dealing with, and what do you expect him to have to overcome as the season goes along?
So, I'm not going to take my shirt off on this show, but I, like an idiot, essentially popped out my AC joint in my right shoulder heading into my senior year of high school. It was a grade 3 sprain. So I was out, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks. I got shot up, but really couldn't do much. Luckily it was summertime. So it's not like I had the benefit of time before I had to go play a game. I know there's obviously a sense of urgency to get Bryce back out there as soon as they can to continue, you know, with the momentum that they're creating, especially on offense. You know, this was an offense that, you know, kind of was not explosive in the past game through the first few games of the season. You know, I've shown some life in that category, you know, the past 2 weeks versus Vanderbilt, and then obviously today versus Arkansas. You want to continue that momentum. But you look at the schedule, you look at A&M, and you know, we've talked about how not great A&M is a football team. Do you sit him next week to make sure he's ready to go? Because in 2 weeks, you better ready to go offensively because you're facing Tennessee on the road. And Tennessee is a team that's going to be able, as we know, score points. So you got to match with them. So it all depends on the sprain. I mean, is it a grade one? Is it a grade two? Is it a grade three? I'm not a doctor. I had a grade three. I can tell you it was not fun. I couldn't throw for about a week. So I anticipate him, if it is a grade two or three, maybe sitting out next week in the thoughts of, hey, you're home. We're going to take care of A&M. And let's see what we can do and make sure you're ready to go for Tennessee on the road there on the 15th. So that's kind of my somewhat, I didn't sleep at a Hilton Garden Inn last night or Marriott or whatever the thing is. If you're a doctor and can give advice, that's not me, but I hope he's healthy, man. It didn't look bad. Obviously him rolling to his right and kind of landing, but anytime you land awkwardly on that right shoulder, things can just pop out. It's kind of like a non-contact injury for an ACL. All it takes is one little move in the wrong direction, and it's just a chain reaction, man. And all of a sudden that ACL does pop and give, and you know he's trying to figure out when he's going to come back. But you know, overall for Alabama, I think there was a lot of positives from today's game. You know, the way that they're able to attack that secondary, which we knew was a huge weakness for Arkansas. I think Kobe Prentice, who I've been – you know, saying on the shows, I think the best receiver on the Crimson Tide, you know, made some plays. Isaiah Bond looked good. But I think obviously the star of the game was Gibbs, the running back. You know, getting him not only going out of the backfield where he's been absolutely tremendous all year, but 18 carries, 206, 2 yards, freaking 11.4 yards per carry. And that was the strength of Arkansas's defense. Like they have a pretty good front five or six, however you want to classify it, especially with those two linebackers there. You know, we thought Alabama could throw the ball. We weren't sure if Alabama could run the ball, and they look really darn good. I thought that was the best this offensive line's played this entire season, given Bryce time in the pocket and obviously creating running lanes for Gibbs and company to go out there and do their thing. So I think you look at this game and you're Alabama and say, all right, we went on the road, hostile environment against a pretty good team, I would say very quality offense with KG Jefferson and Rocket Sanders there at running back. We made a couple mistakes. Our starting quarterback got hurt, but we still won the game 49-26. So, you know, similar to what Peter Burns and I were talking about earlier on in the show, you know, things will most likely get shuffled up when the new AP poll comes out, on tomorrow or Monday. I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama's won, and I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia maybe slides back to three, especially with Ohio State winning again today. Just Georgia has not looked like the number one team in the country here these past 2 weeks, and you know don't really think it matters too much, and maybe it kind of lights a fire under Georgia's ass. You know, it's crazy. I talk to Georgia players, you know, every week, a couple of them here or there, and you know, they always say that practice is harder than the game. That's the first thing they say, like, man, practice is harder than the game. Practice hard. You know, I think the issue right now is they're telling themselves that practice is here and that the games are here. So they feel like when they get to the games, they've kind of already arrived. Like, hey, man, we can just show up because we busted our ass all week because we went up against this elite defense or we went up against this elite offense and it was just so tough that we can just roll in here to Missouri and think that this is going to just be a cupcake, that this is going to be easy because practice was hard. No, it's still the SEC. It's still a road game, and you still got to get your ass going. And we just have not seen that the past 2 weeks from Georgia. So I think they need to change their mindset and stop telling themselves that practice is so much harder than the game, because right now they're making the game look hard. Kent State looked hard. Missouri tonight looked extremely, extremely difficult. So Georgia, words of advice. Don't think you're just going to walk through this season and expect teams to just roll over. You are the team with the big old bullseye on your back. Wake up and start playing like the number one team in the country. That's both sides of the football, or there's going to be a shocker. You almost lost to one of the worst teams in the SEC tonight, 26-22. They almost drinking free on Chase Daniels the entire night on your dime. So tough one, but hey man, you won. Last ranked on ranked game I want to hit on real quick. Wake Forest goes to Florida State. Wake Forest, obviously tremendous game last week versus Clemson. wins the game 31-21, giving Florida State their first loss of the season. Sam Hartman, man, put him in the Heisman conversation. He is a specimen, throwing the football down the field the past 2 weeks since he's – if he was healthy through the first two games of the season, his stats right now would be some of the best in the country, and there already are some of the best in the country. He may have more touchdowns than anyone else in the country if he had been healthy for those first two games. It's just an offense that just can't be stopped right now. Rushed for 171 yards, threw for 234 yards. I thought the offense – or excuse me, the defense played obviously a lot better than they did versus Clemson last week. Jordan Travis, though, and Florida State, you know, good for them, man. They kept fighting. This is a team that's still a contender in the ACC. He continues to still impress me. It's just, I think what we're finding out right now, there really is no answer for this Wake Forest offense. They made Clemson look silly there last week, put up 45 points. They made Florida State on the road look silly, putting up 31 points. And I kind of look at their schedule the rest of the way. You know, NC State on the road will be a difficult challenge. Syracuse has a pretty good defense this year. They're the second to last game of the season. But right now, I just don't see anyone slowing down Sam Hartman in this slow RPO zone read game that is just giving everyone fits. So I'm excited to see them do their thing, man. I think this is a team, once again, that still has an opportunity to go very, very deep in the ACC. And speaking of Clemson, sorry, last one, Clemson beats NC State 30-20. DJU, man, we wanted to see, can he do it 2 weeks in a row? It wasn't as good as it was last week versus Wake Forest, but he looked pretty darn good. 21-30, 209, one touchdowns. And he looked great running the football. Had some design runs for DJU as well. Big athletic kid, 73 yards rushing with two touchdowns. The defense, you know, was going to be pissed off after last week versus Wake Forest. They showed up in a big way in this football game. And Clemson got a huge win versus the number 10 team in the country, kind of, you know, letting the country know that, hey, man, we do deserve to jump back into that number 4 spot here as one of the top teams in the country and a team that definitely deserves an opportunity to possibly be in the playoffs at the end of the year. But once again, awesome, awesome weekend. We had some crazy games. Oklahoma gets blown out. Georgia, close game there. Georgia Tech beat Pittsburgh. My goodness, what the hell is wrong with Pittsburgh? USC is up 14-10. Ohio State took care of business versus Rutgers. They look good. Michigan looked pretty good. A little bit. The offense still concerns me a little bit. I don't think this offense is great. They're running the ball well, but I still worry about the quarterback spot. But they take care of business on the road versus a pretty crappy Iowa. Oklahoma State, gigantic win there versus Baylor. Spencer Sanders, man, doing his thing, running the ball, throwing the football. That's a Cowboy football team right now, undefeated at 4-0, feeling pretty darn good. And maybe right now, and I think are right now, the best team inside the Big 12. So we appreciate everyone jumping on tonight. T-Bob and I will be back on Monday getting you right for next week's matchups. And y'all enjoy a little Pac-12 after dark tonight. And we will catch you guys 2 o'clock on Monday, 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. Snaps all week long, getting you guys ready for some more entertaining football. See ya.
The Volume.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.